Can I buy you guys a drink? Guess not.
Patrick Swayze is...
Dalton.
I thought you'd be... bigger.
Opinions vary.
When he's around, anything can happen.
How's a guy like you end up a bouncer?
Just lucky, I guess.
And usually does.
If somebody gets in your face, I want you to be nice.
Don't be rude.
Ask him to walk, but be nice.
Help this gentleman to the door.
Until it's time to not be nice.
So says the fighting philosopher.
He may be hard to handle.
I keep talking, you're gonna go off thinking I'm a nice guy.
I know you're not a nice guy.
But he's easy to like.
What's the matter, Dalton? Don't you like women?
The worst I ever had was wonderful.
He's not what you'd expect.
I thought you'd be bigger.
But there's one thing you can count on. He's the best friend a good time ever had.
Aren't you guys tired?
Doc, I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead.
This is my town. I'm not afraid of him.
I guess you'll be having that fire sale now, all right?
You got your hands full, kid.
I just think I'm looking at a dead man.
Patrick Swayze.
For that line of work, I thought you'd be bigger.
Gee, I've never heard that before.
Roadhouse.
Welcome back to Back to the Movies. This is Ted Flint. I'm here on the Tailgate Society. You can find us on the thetailgatesociety.com. There are only three rules to Back to the Movies. That's what Dalton would say. I actually don't have three rules. Back to the Movies is also a podcast. Like I said, on the Tailgate Society, on any podcast app of your choice. We are recording this on a Friday night, so bear with me. We are not following Dalton's coffee only at the bar this evening. So find us on Spotify, iHeart, and iTunes. Please give us a rating and a review. I'm joined by Jake Voss and Sean Shen's Assessments. If for some reason you Googled Roadhouse and you found this podcast, because the new one, Jake Gyllenhaal, is coming out here soon. Back to the Movies is about where me and my two pals here, we pick a movie that none of us have seen, or only one of us has seen, the other two haven't seen, and we revisit it. And somehow, none of us have seen 1989's Patrick Swayze movie, Roadhouse. And I feel like, as the oldest one here, that this is more on me, and that's fine. It's okay. I'll deal with it. I'll own that.
Yeah. So I think that's the most surprising part, is that when you said you had never actually seen it.
Right. So like I said, 1989's Roadhouse. So I'm Ted Flint. That's Jake Voss, Sean Shentes Festman. Before we start this podcast, if you're just here to listen to us talk about a movie because you like to hear our voices, we're going to spin the wheel. And whoever it lands on is going to spoil this movie in 90 seconds or less. So here we go. Big spin. Price is Right. Full body into this one. And we go. What's a good dollar? And it's me. I got it.
I don't know what's better, the fact that you do that every time, or the fact that you don't have to and I could actually put a wheel spinning sound in.
So
I was gonna say, I might just build them a wheel.
Just so we're clear, everyone always says that I never get the name. I'm showing you that the wheel
this is like
not...
the second time in like 50 episodes that you've done it. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's like the 1 million spot on Wheel of Fortune.
I'm just showing people, they can't see listening, that it's not rigged. It's not rigged. There's no preconceived notion of who this lands on. It's
sure. Yep.
It's completely random. So in 90 seconds or less, I'm going to spoil the shit out.
I'm going to time you.
All right, Roadhouse.
I'm not actually.
Roadhouse has Patrick Swayze. He's from 89. It's about a man who apparently is a professional cooler, not a bouncer, that gets paid $500 a night to just take care of shit at a bar.
And $5,000 up front.
And it's all about him going to some small town in Missouri, and he becomes the cooler there to help this guy build a fancy bar. We're going to discuss that. And then some asshole who's a billionaire. Did they say he's a billionaire? Anyway, that's a big number for a fucking 89. Like, is also just like running the town like a dickhead. He gets in a fight with this guy. He gets in a fight with his cronies. Buildings get blown up. No police presence. And then he rips a throat out and he saves the town. Kind of.
Basically. kind of.
And he fucks a very attractive female doctor.
Respectfully,
that we're going to get into. 1989's Roadhouse. Yeah. Like we just discussed, none of us have seen this. I have seen the poster, though. We've all seen the poster, right?
I mean, the poster. It's the movie's a part of pop culture, essentially. Like, it was when you brought it up, I was like, no, I've never watched that, surprisingly, somehow, which was kind of shocking.
So I'm going to read the tagline from this poster. So this poster has Patrick Swayze leaning against a brick wall with three small photos, one of him doing Tai Chi, one of him respectfully making love to the doctor against a brick fireplace, and then a car blowing up in the third post picture. And it says, Patrick Swayze, Dalton's the best bouncer in the business. Oh, guys, zoom in on this thing. His nights are filled with action, fast action, hot music, and beautiful women. It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
Somebody's got to pay somebody to do it. It's a good line from the movie.
So Patrick Swayze is 89. This is like in his like spot. He's doing Dirty Dancing.
This ghost is right in his pocket of where he was just massive.
Right. It's Patrick Swayze without a shirt on. It made a lot of money for a good amount of time.
Really though, when you look at the thing, we're going to do is into his filmography. I thought he was more famous for a longer period than he is. But anyway, so as we start, it's our first question on the answer sheet, because we always answer our questions in order. This is not a chaotic podcast.
always on the rails.
Yes. What is everyone's first memory of this movie? If you have any, this might be like a rare one, but I'm not sure if I do.
I can't tell you like a specific time that it like is in my brain, obviously without having watched it. I can't give you like a specific time. I mean, it was always, like I said, in kind of just the pop culture ether and talked about. I knew, like, the one thing I probably knew but had no context and I still don't really understand is like the throat ripping out thing. But
there's going to be a discussion. It's in the same right as Jake there. It's, I couldn't tell you when I became aware of Roadhouse. As far as I know, I've just always known about Roadhouse. This was definitely for sure the first time that I've watched it beginning to end through and through. I've seen pieces, like there was a lot of the first like half hour of the movie when I was watching it that I was just like, no, I have seen this movie. But then I would just get like 10 minutes, a pocket of 10 minutes. I'm just like, nope, have no idea what's going on here. I have not seen this movie. But I don't know where I've seen those clips that I know I've seen before. Like, I don't know where they've popped up. I know I've listened to podcasts about Roadhouse. There's the whole Family Guy bit about Roadhouse.
So I don't know what that is, man. Like, I've heard that a few times now. Like, I should know what that is.
Yeah, there's just literally, I think they do a couple, I don't even want to say reenactments, but it's like a bar fight or something. It's Peter Griffin doing, you know, spin kicks, and he'll just looks at the camera and just goes Roadhouse. Like, that's just
gift,
all
that's
it
where the
is.
Peter Griffin Roadhouse gift came from.
Yeah, that's
hilarious.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you when I specifically became aware of it or when I ever saw anything about it. As you mentioned, like, I think everybody, once you know Roadhouse, you're aware of the throat ripping out moment.
I did not know that. I had no memory of that.
I going into the movie, I thought about it and I'm just like, okay, I know about the moment. I know it happens, but I don't remember what it looks like or how it happens. And I go, that just seems weird to know it happens and that I think I've seen it.
It is the millennials' John Wick and the pencil. That's what I thought.
It absolutely is.
Early when this movie starts, I'm watching it, and they said the throat thing. And I'm like, oh, this is John Wick and the pencil. He killed a man with a pencil. And I'm like, yep. All right. So at some point, this motherfucker is going to rip someone's throat out. Like, it's going to happen. Like, it's, you can't just toss that into the ether and be like, I once saw him rip a man's throat out and be like, that's not, that's there's going to be a payoff for that. Right.
And then we get so close to having it happen twice.
We're going to discuss that too. So, yeah. So like, all I knew about Roadhouse from my memory was I knew Sam Elliott was in it. I knew Sam Elliott died. And that's all I knew.
So, I didn't remember any of that. I didn't know any of that.
I didn't know he died.
I brought it up to somebody last week that we were doing Roadhouse, and they go, oh yeah, they go, Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott, man. And I'm just like, Sam Elliott?
Yeah, I knew he was in it.
This out.
All right, this is the perfect time to get completely off the rails. It's only 10 minutes in this podcast. So Patrick Swayze's in this, Sam Elliott's in this. Patrick Swayze is a notoriously like heartthrob, like Dirty Dancing, Ghost, whatever. He's apparently very sexy. I'm just going to say Sam Elliott looked better than him in this movie. I'm tossing out there.
Sam Elliott looks very
good. So, of the two,
there's an interesting thing there, because like Sam Elliott just always looks good. Like, I don't know if you've watched like the Ranch at all, or if you ever watched The Ranch at all.
Dude, I saw A Star Is Born look good in that shit.
Yeah, like he's like pretty fucking old, but he just looks good. Like, he's just got that thing where he just looks good. I don't think it matters.
The swagger of that man.
Yeah, he's just got it. And that's kind of the, and that's, I think that's one of the key, like great things that makes this movie, right? Is Swayze has that too, but not quite like Sam Elliott. But that's the, like, they got two really great people to play these, like, you don't fuck with them, they fix things.
Yeah.
Like, just, they have the swagger, they know that they're going to beat you type of characters.
Right, yeah, it's the guys who toe the line between confident and cocky sort of thing, where it's just, yeah, they're playing this game, but it is, hey, at the end of the day, I'm solving a problem, and if you're going to be a problem, I'm going to solve it. And they are, you know, they are smooth in what they do. I will say on that, I do have, well, I don't know if I actually jotted them down specifically, but I had a couple notes of just like, boy, acting in the 80s is it's certainly a separate art form.
Dude, this movie, like,
there's some moments, especially early on with Swayze, where you're just like, this is what you got, man. This is what
Swayze, as far as like an actual actor, is not like, he's not.
Which I was trying to say, like, I'm looking at his IMDb right now, but like, I thought he was like a bigger deal for a longer period. And I was talking to someone on the phone about this, and like, I was just like growling off Patrick Swayze things. And I went to like four. This,
yeah,
Dirty Dancing, Point Break, Ghost. But like, after that,
yeah, the last thing, so he was in, I don't know if you've ever seen Black Dog.
I fucking know Black Dog, brother.
I actually really like that movie, but that's like maybe the last thing that he made.
And that he was tailing off, right? That was like a...
Yeah, but he's kind of the example of like someone who, he burned really bright for...
6 years.
Yeah, like a period where he made some movies that are very famous, and he's very famous because of it, and then just like went away.
He's in Donnie Darko?
Yeah, he's the fucking motivational speaker.
Boy.
When was the last time you watched that, though?
Never. Oh, it's been a while. But he's in Ja Rule's Murder Reigns videos.
He's also music in...
videos, so, like...
You're telling me
this man fell off?
Look at this thing. So, Dirty Dancing, something called Steel Dawn.
His last credit was 2009.
Like, he died.
That's crazy. He's
fucking dead. He died in 2009.
Wait, he died
in 2009?
He had fucking cancer. He's dead.
Oh my god! I didn't realize he died in 2009.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that long ago. Don't blame me. Blame cancer.
Blame my brain. Oh, sorry.
Pancreatic cancer. I can't pronounce that word.
Pancreatic.
Yeah, he's dead.
I didn't realize it was 2009. Jesus. Okay. Anyway.
I mean, you were in high school. You probably didn't care or register.
I was a sophomore.
So but no, I'm pretty excited about I plan on watching Dirty Dancing here. I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
Actually, I was a junior. Sorry.
Fuck. Well, that makes it slightly better. Maybe he has some peach fuzz on that. On that.
Hey, I had a goatee by then.
Oh, well, you're just putting me in the corner. They just put me in the corner there. But all right. So like, back to the movie. Yeah, like he for like 5 years there. Next of Kin, Liam Neeson movie. He's in it. It's fucking good shit too. About like a redneck goes to a big city and just murders everybody that murders his brother. Some peak 80s shit. All right, back at it. So, all right, so this movie starts with him being a bouncer somewhere. But we mentioned he's in Memphis. He kills one in Memphis. They mentioned Dayton, Ohio, maybe, I think, too. So I got the impression that he's a bouncer in California when this fucker starts. Well, that doesn't track, like, if you think about. But also,
I don't know if there was much for context as to where he was.
All right.
Yeah, for where it starts, I don't think they do, you know, just the pan in on the bar, the bandstand.
Yeah.
Where, because I think when he leaves, you know, he pulls the.
Well, because like, I'll fly you out there. And you're like, well,
he gets. He gets offered the job to come to this little bar we got to clean up outside of Kansas City.
Jasper.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't fly, so, you know, I'll get there when I get there sort of thing. You'll know when I'm there. So he just up and leaves, and, like, he pulls that cover off the Mercedes, which I think it has a New York plate, but, like, that's not necessarily.
He treats that car like it's much nicer than it is, but maybe I shouldn't. Complain.
Hey man, that's a pretty nice car.
I mean, at the time
nice
in 89, yeah.
That's probably like a $100,000 car all in right. the 80s.
So I get to this point, as a man who hated the show Ozark, because there's obviously wasn't filmed in Ozark. This fucking shit movie is filmed in California. There are mountains in the background of every fucking
you would notice that.
There's not mountains in Missouri. Okay.
But Northwestern Missouri. Okay.
Bullshit. There are in Northwestern Missouri. You mean where Ohio's at? No. Me and Tez just drove through that area.
Other direction, buddy. I was kidding. I was being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah. I'm an asshole. You know,
I was kidding. There aren't mountains around.
No,
there's anywhere.
Yes. Yeah, no.
Maybe like lower.
Oh, there's
lower...
not mountains in East St. Louis.
Northwestern Missouri is like Kansas City.
Maybe
Omaha,
Southeast Missouri. There maybe are mountains. You're hitting the Smokies.
This thing.
I haven't even looked at the filming locations on IMDb by Beds
Cop. So that's not even the thing that I had about like location. It's not even necessarily about like looking at the movie and the location. But so this is Missouri, and I want to know where you have to be in Missouri for like they made this movie like it's fucking Oklahoma or Texas or something. Like just based on like how people are dressing and like
real
the style of the it's like real redneck stuff, and I'm like, I mean, I get that you can have that in like rural Missouri, but just for the setting of the movie to be somewhere in Missouri and you make it like basically a Texas looking bar with the people and stuff, like okay,
Santa Clarita, California,
yeah.
New Hope.
That's
California.
Funny. I didn't notice the. That's funny though. I didn't notice the mountains and stuff in the background.
Well, I'm an asshole. But yeah,
well, that's a very you thing.
Also, Justified is also filmed in fucking California. If you really want to get pissed off, so
I never
fun.
Watched Justified. So.
It's amazing. You should. But like, yeah,
one of my best friends in college watched it. I've seen some of it, but.
But yeah, like this. The mountains are so obvious, like, and it's like desert, like it's just like
now. So I have it on in the background, and I'm gonna be like looking up and waiting to see.
Each time they're outside, there's mountains. You know, So all right, Well, since you know, I always want to go by the questions in order. I'm gonna go off order.
Yes,
off order. Let's play my favorite game. You know what? You both know my favorite game. Would I like to visit this bar? And this is a two-tier question, because in my head, the double deuce is two bars. There's the original bar.
Before and after, yeah.
And I am team before, even though I don't want to get stabbed.
Yeah, I would agree with that, other than, like, that's a place.
Violence?
Yeah, that's a place where, like, I want to be there until, like, midnight, and then I'm going to go somewhere else so I don't get involved in the fucking... table shattering fights.
Yeah,
that happen
if
every night.
I walk into a bar and I just go, oh, you know, a couple of the people outside look a little rough, but it sounds like a good time inside. And I walk inside and there's a live band. Great. But with they're playing behind a cage.
It worked for the Blues there's Brothers.
Just bottles getting
fantastic. The goddamn cage.
Chucked at him all night long.
The singer is blind and he's just getting hit with fucking glass shards.
You know, that's fucking the actual band. Like, that's the actual.
I know that. Yeah.
I didn't know that until I was researching. So,
but yeah, like, it just that bar when he first goes. As opposed to the Applebee's motherfucking thing, it turns into like all the bouncers have red shirts on and like.
Yeah, they go way beyond this clashing up the establishment thing, which I guess to backtrack a little on the whole, when Dalton gets offered the job of this idea that he gets offered the job because you're the best, what do they call him? The cooler. He's the he's the best up and coming cooler in the nation. Like there's just a fucking
in the late 80s, like this guy that like apparently like inherited this bar essentially is
just word of mouth that he's the best cooler in the game. He can, you know, he'll take care of your business outside of Wade, who we obviously meet later.
But it's hilarious to me that he's described and is essentially assigned the job of like head bouncer, but also when he's brought in, it's like, no, you're more like the GM. Like you're in charge of everything.
Like, yeah. To fix it all. 'Cause he does that in his negotiation about the job of, you know, it's $5,000 up front, $500 a night, which then you start getting into the money of what they're doing. That's insane money.
Yeah.
And then, but then, yeah, he goes, and it's my show. Everything runs my way.
Yeah. It's me. Like,
and they're just like, yeah, okay, perfect. Sounds good. And I'm just like, what does this guy know about running away? He breaks up fights.
He's the ultimate bar manager. Apparently. Yeah, he's worth $500 a night, and you're still somehow going to make money.
If you're that good at this, no matter what, you shouldn't be the dude. Yeah, that's getting punched in the face at any point ever. Like that's just not how.
I mean, he did go to NYC for fucking philosophy. So I mean,
yeah, that's
well, his philosophy on being a business manager is way fucking off.
Be nice. And yes. Again, be nice. And be nice until I tell you to not be nice.
And here's the thing. We're at, how old am I? Because that's when it came out. 34, 35 years later. It's still as far as
just hurting me. It's fine.
As far as being in a bar business and dealing with customers, that is still the way to do it.
Yep.
One, because boy, getting sued is not good for anybody. But also, yeah, you'd be surprised how many people will just walk away or shut up once you just
when meet you just them look at them and smile.
Yeah, when they're running your mouth and you're like, you're right, buddy.
Yeah, no, yeah, no problem. Gotcha. Have fun.
But I'm gonna have to walk you out, man.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just it's wild that they had this. That he's
did we list the rules? So I have them right here.
No, I don't think we got through the three anyway.
So never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Which is two rules.
Is rule one. Yes, I know. Take it outside.
1A and 1B.
Take it outside.
Number one. Number
take it outside.
Number two.
Don't start stuffing the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And then three. Be nice. To be true, to be clear on that be nice thing, though, it isn't even like, it's not all bar thing. If someone is like, hates you, if you're just nice to them, it'll piss them off.
Yeah.
10% more.
Well, that reminds, when he was talking about that, one, it's a great way to just like, it'll piss people off, but it also diffuses things. But it reminded me of, and I don't remember what podcast it was. I think it was one of the, it's ironically and hilariously, like, I think it was a sports show, but it's a podcast I listened to the recording. And they were talking about like when people flip you off or get mad at you when you're driving or something. And if you just like look at him and smile and give him a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
How hilarious that is.
Oh, this is years ago. One of my buddies taught me that. He goes, dude, he goes, if somebody even just pisses me off on the road, like cuts me off or something, he goes, all I do is just drive around them, big smile, thumbs up.
Yeah,
he goes,
just smile and thumbs up.
So fucking
it's so
mad.
Infuriating. Yeah, it's hilarious. Oh, it's so, my favorite thing to do ever since I heard that.
So speaking of like the original bar before it becomes an Applebee's, what is your favorite shitty bar you've been into? Experience.
Like experience just, or bar? Like the place or an experience we've had?
You pick your own, pick your adventure. Mm. Like we were like, this is a good hangman, man. I'm not coming back. All right. While you guys are thinking, I can tell you my favorite one.
That's a hard one to just drop and ask us because yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you think about it? So when I was 25, moved back to my hometown ish, and I hung out at this bar, and it was a dirt bar. It's now super nice, which is very, very relevant to this fucking movie. And one night I rolled in there and I saw a car hit another car. And I rolled in the bartender who I was good friends with. He's like, let's drink till like 3 a.m. because his whole thing was like, oh, stay later, it'll be safer. I'm not sure if that's true.
What?
It's because the cops would no longer be out. They've already got their...
because they're only looking for people at 2, not at 3.
No, because they've already got their fish. Yeah. And they're already back at the station weighing their fish. Is how he would say it. And like when I rolled in, like I saw a car hit a car. And I walk in, I go, hey man, hey Brian, I saw a car hit a car there. I'm like, we should call someone, report it. You know, that guy took off. He goes, we don't call the cops. I go, you don't call the cops. Yeah, we don't call
unless
the cops.
You have to.
I go, what happens if I'm in trouble and we need the cops? He goes, as long as you're in the bar, you're safe. And I go, what if I'm outside? He goes, look me straight in the face. He goes, well, then you're not in the bar.
Then you're on your own and you so I call the cops.
Yep. So I like this visual of me like gripping the sides of the door as I'm getting pulled out.
Now
like,
I gotta stay in the bar.
I'm in the bar. I'm still in the bar.
I've got immunity.
No, gotta stay in the bar.
That bar had bars on the windows. If you're wondering like how nice a bar that was,
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Now the bars are gone, oh. And it's kind of a fucking preppy place to play, hang out. Apparently, that's so.
Fresh. I mean, that's not. I didn't work in the diviest bar, shittiest bar I've ever been in. But yeah, I mean, we were a don't call the cops unless you absolutely have to, because cops out front of a bar is bad for business. But they also, like, we would let them in if they wanted to do walkthroughs. Like, we got along with the cops. I think 2 times ever we had to call the cops. And one was we had a dude literally punching out our front glass door at 3 a.m. while we were trying to close because he just let me in for another shot.
I gotta have more.
No, dude, fucking go home. He literally punched out our front glass door in a giant piece of glass. I was standing probably 8 feet back, went through my arm, cut my fucking arm. And the cops showed up and they're just like, do you want to press charges? And I'm just like, he didn't have any fucking money. What's the point? What are we doing? He can't pay for anything.
Be like, sir, do you want paperwork? Because I'm pretty content.
Like, yeah, I'm just like,
got a $200 tab in here that he hasn't paid in 4 months. Like, yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
But I don't know. I think that it's a strange answer because kind of the dirtiest, rattiest bar experience I had was not in the rattiest bar I've been in, which is a bar on the east side that I don't know that I need to bring up.
don't name the name.
I just talk about your experience without saying where
it was. A fine bar, like we went in there and it was fine, but it was definitely one of those, like we walked in, it was like a Saturday afternoon. It was actually a handful of years ago we went to the NASCAR race in Newton and we were on our way back. And we took some back roads and we stopped there.
Yeah.
And it was, there were like 6 people in there at, 5:30 on a Saturday. And they turned around and looked at us. And like, I think 2 of them straight up asked us, like, who are you? Why are you here?
Okay.
And we're just like, oh, we're just having a drink and like going to play a game of darts. Like, but yeah, we'll promptly get the fuck out. Like, sorry,
we'll just leave. That's fine. We'll somewhere else. It's okay. No, I don't have anything from like somewhere else. There is a bar here in town that I think would rival a lot of dive bars.
Well, we need to go.
When I say rival, this is not like in a good way. At least when I was like in,
you know, when you say things 20s, like that, it makes me want it more.
No, I'm talking like dudes being assholes and fights and stuff like that. Like, this isn't like, I'm not talking like small town, like old dudes, like fun time. I'm talking,
Sean once told me we couldn't go to a bar because it was too knifey.
Yeah, I told you you would get stabbed. And what did the lady at the VFW tell us?
She said that she would not go if she was going to go to a bar.
She said, no, it's a fine place. And you said, when you get off work, would you go there? And she said, no, absolutely not.
This isn't the fun type of sketchy is what I'm trying to tell you. This is like just people being stupid, aggressive, and being drunk at fucking 1:45. But that's probably, I mean, I would compare it to kind of like walking into a bar in Ames on Main Street that you may or may not have been cut off in.
I was just there the other night.
I would probably compare it kind of to that vibe, but it's, yeah, it's, I've got a lot of stories from that bar.
The other night, I was there and I went to bed at 3 a.m. in my hotel because that turned into an adventure. But there's these two dudes at that bar and, I bet they're in their 70s, these two dudes in their 70s, and they were just busting each other's balls for like 45 minutes at like 11 o'clock on a fucking Monday. And I'm like, that is the fucking goals that I want. Just me and my friend were in our 70s, drunk at a dive bar.
You're sitting on at the bar.
They were literally standing up, just shooting shit on each other for nice. Fucking. I'm like, all right. Anyways, all right, back to the questions because we are a well oiled machine. That's what we do. Which we mentioned in this podcast. All right. Favorite quote from this movie. Ooh. I have one.
The first like 30 minutes of this movie, I made notes of like a lot of like little quick quotes. So I'm curious to see what yours is.
After this question, we're going to come back to that comment right there.
So yeah, I know I haven't brought it up on here, but I think I brought it up to you guys that I watched this last night after a very long day and I had to be up extra early today. So I wasn't in the greatest frame of mind. I was a little spacey on watching the movie. So I have exactly 3 notes from it. Which at this point with this one, I will have touched on all 3. But I think, I mean, I guess maybe the most quotable one, I don't know if it's my favorite, but I don't remember a ton off the top of my head, but it's just the, oh, I thought you'd be bigger.
You're right. And they see it like 3 times.
Yeah, yeah, it's a couple, it's kind of the catch. Oh, I've never heard of that phrase before. Yeah. Where it's, yeah, he gets it, you know, in New York when he gets offered the job, and then when he gets down to Missouri and there's people that see him around, and yeah, it's just, oh, I thought you'd be bigger. And then he runs into the blind guy in the band who even drops it on. That's apparently just the nationwide thing of everybody thought Dalton would be bigger because he rips throats out for a living.
And Swayze's just not a big dude, man.
Yeah, like, Swayze, as I say, Swayze, like, he's not like a physically big person. So
yeah,
it fits. Ted, so what was yours? Because I'm like, I have like
5, you already know what it is. Quotes. A polar bear fell on me.
The very end of the movie. That's
where, like, after they blast that dude, like, just like when that actor's like,
times with a
bit me of the biggest squids you can give me. Give me all the squibs. All
wearing shotgun shells like they're a fucking 3-piece.
And that suit, big man, fat bastard who I mean, also I can relate to is like, just like, he gets hit by the polar bear.
What about you?
Like, do you see anything, Tucker? He's like, polar bear fell on me. And the credits hit. Like, just immediately after that.
I mean, yeah, it's...
It's very good.
Just for that, it's dude, so not to dive fully into the end and everything, but just the polar bear falling... He made a
business decision. Like, he's like, I'm out.
The polar bear falling alone takes 30 seconds.
He shoots it 3 times!
And then, like, watching it, I go, wow, that killed him, huh? That's weird. Because, like, everybody else had, like, a pretty blatant, gruesome death.
knife to the chest.
And then yeah, what's his face gets shot over and over again. He's just Jackie peeking around the corner underneath the bullet.
Once the cops show up for the first time in the entire movie, yeah, the detectives are like, what's going on here? We can't allow this.
Somebody finally showed up. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot of like quick ones. The I don't fly too dangerous, like kind of like cracked me up pretty quick, like in the movie. When he's talking about him flying out to Missouri or whatever. I think my favorite one is in Swayze's like opening monologue, when he gets to the bar and everybody's sitting down. The one was bouncer guy, he's like, you know, be nice, and like somebody calls you a cocksucker, like those are just two adjectives or whatever. And he says something like, well, what if they call my mom a whore? And he literally just looks at him and goes, well, is she?
Is she?
Yeah, and I like lost it. I was like, that's hilarious, because like those are fighting words, and that dude just sucked.
And he just walks away, keeping eye
like,
contact.
Well, is she? And just like looks at him and walks away. And the guy was like, I guess I'm not gonna try and fight him. I don't know.
Or when the supermodel doctor, I'm not saying supermodels can't be doctors, like stitching him up and he's like, I don't feel pain or some shit. Yeah. Pain is like a something or other, you know, like.
Is this the first? So, all right, we already went through. I think that's my favorite, but is this the first reference to drain the main vein? When did that start?
I have no idea.
Because that was a quote that I marked
out. It may be, yeah. It's, I don't know, at least in like actual pop culture, it very well may be.
I would kind of be surprised if it was, anyway. But I was early enough that I was like, I don't know, maybe it is. Like,
right. All right. So as Jake just said a minute ago, we're going through the quotes. I'm sure he might have more, but I tweeted you guys today about how I'm going to compare this movie to Super Troopers. And, you know,
yeah, because there's a bear fucker.
Bear fucker needing assistance.
And I said, you're gonna get on me for this, but like, so as
is
I was
that
watching,
not what you meant, because that's what I initially thought.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Bear fucker. Dude, I cannot wait to do Super Troopers on this podcast.
That doesn't qualify for our criteria.
I mean, there are two bears that get stuffed in this movie. One by a cock, one by fur.
All right.
Stuffing maybe. But anyway, so Super Troopers, when I grew up, when I was in college, we watched like the first 45 minutes of that fucking movie 120 times.
Because you turned it on after the bar?
Or before the bar.
Yeah.
And
it was like way
earlier. And you never finished it.
Sure.
And this movie, the first 45 minutes or an hour is great. I'm all in. But the last like 45 minutes, like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah, it does.
Go ahead.
It does a real like, and I didn't make like an actual note of this, but in my brain, I was like, this does a real like, it's not a singular movie comparison, but it does a real like Fast and Furious like transformation, but really quickly, like within the same movie, it goes from like, all right, this is like a fun, like this guy is this, and then it turns into like, well, actually this guy's just gonna fucking kill everybody and fix the problem.
I think, yeah, like I'm not gonna talk in the beach bump. Go ahead, Sean.
No, sorry, I was just gonna say it is so, like, even going into the movie, I even thought, I'm just like, just in my head, and it took me a while to check it for sure, because I'm like, maybe I'll be wrong and we'll be okay here. But I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is like a full 2-hour movie, which it is just short. But they do almost a distinct like 3-act thing, but they're not 3 acts. It is just, it's the fun character building. Here's why we're here. And then it's just like, he's in love. And then it's just like, now he's blowing shit up and killing
now he's
people.
John Wick action star. Yeah. Like,
well, but he's not the one blowing up. It's like, they're like, oh, you picked off, what's the bad guy's name in this movie?
Brad Wesley.
Wesley.
It goes, oh, Wesley, oh, you have
drives
you have
like a goddamn maniac.
Dude, that beginning part, that beginning part is some fucking feral shit when he's like just swerving around along the road. But and then of course he has a fucking crush on the doctor. Of course he's just a prick. But like everything up until I think when Garrett Wilson? What the fuck is
Wade Garrett?
Wayne Garrett. Garrett. It's a fucking Garrett Wilson. Name.
Wade Garrett.
Wade Garrett.
Sam Elliott.
What kind of stupid fucking name is Garrett. Anyways,
that's a fucking awful one.
Yeah, Grace, stupid. but yeah. I was like that part. I'm like, it's just a fun, like after bar, I'm gonna watch like him sit there and watch that bar fight for 20 minutes for like something goes for 20 minutes. I mean, he first shows up with the double deuce, you know, just sitting there against the corner, has his coffee.
He's
like,
just observing the first night. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just watching the whole place go to shit.
I mean, I don't know when, like, I just get bored. I'm not saying bored, but, like, this movie's too long. But also, apparently, it's like a 3.5-hour cut. There's something I'm intrigued by because there's a pretty famous actor that shows up as a bartender there at the end that's just there and has fourth billing in this fucking movie.
Is it Tom Cruise in the second half is just fucking cocktail?
It's Keith David, man. He's literally in that fucking movie for, like, 2 minutes. You know who Keith David is. You can look him up. You're like,
I do. I recognize him. Just... I couldn't have told you his name, but I recognize
him. Right, I was into a podcast. I did some research about this movie. I just listened to a podcast. He goes, yeah, I bought a new car in an apartment of this movie. And then the director called me and goes, man, you were great. You had a great fight with Terry Funk, which pisses me off because Terry Funk is in this goddamn movie. One of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. And they cut it.
I totally knew that.
They cut it. I would watch Keith David and Terry Funk beat the shit out of each other. But anyways, back to the original part. The bar fight happens. And we have a bar fight in a movie. Once again, we've talked about this before. I want to be in a movie bar fight where nothing hurts.
Just like get cracked over the head with a sugar glass bottle. And
yeah, so.
So yeah, Sean, who's worked in bars before.
This and yeah, I wanted to touch on this when it got brought up in the movie, but so it is, you don't want to get hit in the head with bottles because you don't want to get hit with bottles because a lot of times they just don't break.
They don't break.
It fucking hurts.
Yep.
And if they do, yeah, then there's just fucking blood everywhere. Yeah.
You get split open if you get hit.
So speaking of that, were either one of you alive or drinking or dumb like I was during the period when you realized if you put a dime in a beer bottle and you spun it, or a tornado, the dime would shoot out of the beer bottle and it would make
I've never done it, been around for it, but I've heard the story.
So if you put a dime in a, hang on. Okay. Talk to my lawyer. Okay. My lawyer says,
allegedly,
if you put a dime in a beer bottle and you try to maneuver, it's not on me. Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. He wants to be very clear. Cannot sue Ted Flint.
Well, you do not condone these actions.
Not condone these actions.
You can try and sue Ted Flint, but good luck.
Maybe go after Jared_Leaper on Twitter. He is my
the complaint department.
So back when I was young, we learned that if you put a dime in a beer bottle and you spun it like a tornado and a dime shot out, it would make the beer bottle fragile and you could break it over your head. So
how many times did you try that?
This is a story. You both know my boy Rick. I once saw this motherfucker do that maneuver and hit himself in the head 4 times square without the bottle breaking.
So the only way that actually would work is if you somehow spun it fast enough that the dime scored the glass of the bottle, but also
on the way out.
Yeah. Also it's on the inside and that's not going to help you that much because you need to score.
You put
the
dime
outside.
In the inside. Yeah.
No. I'm just saying like, that's not that. No.
I always felt bad for Rick.
It's not going to damage the integrity of.
Cause no. I did it numerous times. And the ball always broke. But that night, it did not break on his head and he kept slamming his head of a bottle. It was awful to watch. Anyways,
my lawyer says it's not on me if you do this. I'm just saying, if you put a diamond in a beer bottle and you spin it.
It is. The other thing I wanted to touch on is because one, if I guess in the whole bar brawl thing, I think I've only ever been in this situation when I was working once or twice where like it got like decently big where like 20 people were just
fuck
more than just like each other's people.
At each other's throats sort of thing, not really fighting but like pushing and shoving and like somebody trying to break something up, so that turned into a punch being thrown. And but usually you can break them up pretty quick as long as the employees of the bar are not involved, which obviously they do.
Has
not
that happen?
As I have only been involved as an employee one time. And it just, yeah, nobody likes getting hit. Nobody likes hitting people. It all
that's
hurts.
My next, that's don't my next it. Question. Before back to our honor, have you guys ever been in a fight? Like a fight, five fight.
Yeah, it's, I've hit anyone, people in the face. I've been hit in the face. None of it's fun.
I have been in a few fights. It's not fun. I got my ass kicked in those fights. I mean, you lose. If you win, you lose. Right?
Nobody wins in a fight. It's literally a quote
that's
from
what Dalton says. Literally,
nobody
yeah.
ever wins in a fight.
Anyone that's once getting a fight has never been
nobody
in a
ever
fight.
Wins a fight.
Right. Anyone that's once getting a fight has never been in a fight. It all sucks.
Yeah.
I've got a buddy that liked to fight because he
there are
all the time.
Yeah. But there are some people.
One of my best friends, love the guy. But I also played like De-Escalator a lot because of that guy. So
the only other thing on the bar fight is I think it's not even necessarily the bar fight. I think it's after they're making the transition and I think Swayze gets stabbed and he meets the doc or whatever. However that
sliced happens. Yeah, he gets sliced, not stabbed. Yeah.
And then she's going through pain. Just yeah, you've got all these broken bones, you've got 95
he
stitches.
Brings his
oh, I noted it. I noted it. Hang on. Add 9 staples to your 31 broken bones, 2 bullet wounds, 9 stab punctures, and 4 stainless steel. I don't know what the fuck that means.
How does he have the folder?
And
he carries his medical records with him.
Does he ask the doctor to like just like fill it out and like give it back to him?
He has to say, hey, can I have my medical like a copy of my medical records, please? Like,
yeah.
He has to just do that every
is that
time.
A thing?
You can, but I'm sure you can.
There's a conversation in there. I think it's with the doc, but maybe it's not. And
her name
is
literally Doc Don
is
the
doc.
Guy.
You don't know.
We're not
her
being
name.
A sexist. It's what it says. The goddamn.
No, respectfully, her name is
respectfully.
Doc. She's very,
respectfully,
very attractive.
Patrick Swayze, the cross country bouncer.
How can she have an ass that good and be that smart? Respectfully,
she's got too
that's
many.
A quote from the movie.
She's got too many brains to have an ass like that. I think is what Sam Elliott says.
Yeah, we're just quoting the movie. We're not being sexist assholes, respectfully.
But yeah, he makes a comment about one of the cuts or something. Something is from getting hit with a Jack Daniels bottle.
No, that's
Sam Elliott says that.
Yeah.
Is it Sam Elliott? It's either way.
He said I got blindsided by a Jack Daniels bottle.
That's just not breaking.
No.
No, it's not. So this is a conversation me and my bartender friends always used to have is if it comes to it, if a full bar brawl breaks out,
you got
to
defend yourself.
And you can grab one bottle from behind the bar that is going to save your life. What do you grab? Jack Daniels is the most popular answer. It's got a long enough stem. You can grip it. It's thicker. It's got corners. It's thick glass. That thing's not breaking. You can beat the shit out of people with a Jack Daniels bottle.
Right. So speaking of bar fights, how much would you pay for a company, like it's like an escape room, but it's a bar and everything is in it is breakable and won't hurt you. For you and your friends getting a fake bar fight.
Oh, you mean like the tables that they have in this movie that split in half as soon
as
they're
touched? Exactly. So it hurts.
So a Willy Wonka bar, basically.
Yeah, like it hurts or doesn't hurt. You know, like
that'd be fun.
Your
just like suplex a buddy through a table. Like, it shatters when you do it.
Dude, is that, I mean, that's that business model right now. How much would you pay to do that experience?
Literally toss somebody out the front glass door.
Yeah, right.
The sugar glass. Like, you just like 50 bucks a person?
I don't know. Yeah, probably something like that.
Well, how much do you think that they'd have to pay per event, though? 500 bucks, probably? More?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It would be, I don't know how that stuff works. And if you can, like, put, I mean, obviously, sugar glass, you can't put back. I don't know if you can have, like, tables and shit that break.
Say it's 10 people, would you pay 100 bucks a person?
Probably once, yeah, at least.
It'd be fun as hell, right?
I'd probably pay 100 bucks to do it once.
If I get a video of it afterwards.
As long as you had the right people that are, like, okay to, like, hate themselves the next day because they got thrown down on, like, a table.
And also, you need a video,
right? If you can work it out, because if you're going to do it in, like, a bar setting, like, let's say it's an hour. If you, an hour in the room, maybe a half hour.
Dude,
an
hour?
You probably don't need that.
You have Mr. I got cardio. Give me 15 minutes.
Bar fight stamina over here.
But if you give me...
I don't need a video of me sitting in the corner, like, fucking catching my breath.
You give me, let's say it's even a literal happy hour beforehand for that group.
Oh yeah, we gotta be drunk during the shit. We can't be sober.
Where you're not charging me $7 for a fucking Bud Light.
Oh my god, that's a great idea. That's the key.
So you get a half hour of like hanging out before and drinking, and then you get a half hour of fucking shit up.
And you decide who in the friend group's gonna start it. Who's gonna be like the one like motherfucker and push somebody.
The bell dings and like that person just goes off and starts.
Yeah, it's.
Makes a fake argument like motherfucker, you touched my elbow. Like, you know, oh man.
I mean, Bills fans do this for free, so there's gotta be money to be made.
This is we're leaving money. We're throwing this.
Hey, we're putting it out there officially. Like it's IP, like it's our intellectual property at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to my lawyer. My lawyer's right here. Talk to my lawyer again. He says it's good. But yeah, like I would be in a bar fight where I don't get hurt.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen. That seems easy enough, right?
Sure. Super simple.
All right.
Should we dive into the town, folk?
Yeah. All right. Let's discuss this town. We have so many questions we haven't touched yet. How big is this town? So you both know I live in a town of 2,400 people.
About that size.
I would say, yeah. Maximum that size.
So a billionaire lives in
that's why it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
He lives across the pond from a dude who just raises horses.
All right, let's discuss
At the large, like it's not as big as
not a lake.
Like it's not as big as my town is. Like that's way too big.
But also, I love how like half of this movie, like they do like a reverse shot of the roadhouse, and like the town's right there. Like, it's just like. Like Red's fucking hardware store or whatever, AutoZone.
In the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it's on an auto parts store. Or whatever.
And also you look up and like it's just street of fucking shitty restaurants.
That's what I mean. Like it's not a big place. That's why it's kind of silly that so when you ask that question, and I kind of the movie doesn't fully relate, but it made me think of Walking Tall, the Rock movie where he like comes back and is
you know that's a remake of a movie in the 70s, right?
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I haven't seen that one and I actually didn't know that was a remake. So.
Jesus fucking Christ, fucking young motherfucker.
But it actually parts of this movie made me think of that because it's like that town in Walking Tall is not big enough to have this like giant casino
as a casino, right?
Be like a whatever billionaire that runs a casino, right? It's kind of some of that shit. Like that town is a tiny town, but it somehow has this like billionaire that lives on the river or by the lake, or I mean, I think it's on a river, whatever.
It's a lake.
It makes no goddamn sense. So I'm pretty sure it's a river.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of just, yeah, he's become this, even if it's not, let's downgrade it to millionaire if need be.
Yeah, like a couple hundred millionaire, whatever it is.
On literally just you're charging this tax for the what is it Jasper
something? Oh, dude, he's service. Shaking him. He's shaking him down.
Jasper. Well, he's shaking him down, but it's through this idea of that he's the Chamber of Commerce. More.
So I'm gonna ask Sean this question because I know Jake doesn't know the answer. Do you recognize The Millionaire? Or did you look it up?
I didn't look it up.
I know you don't know who he is, Jake. That's in Sean.
Fuck you too. Off the top of my head, and I didn't go look it up, but I know he looked familiar.
He's fucking Jackie Treehorn.
Oh, holy shit. Yeah, he is. Oh my God. Yeah, he is. You make a mean Caucasian, Jackie. Holy shit. Yeah, he is.
That's a big Lebowski.
I don't know how that didn't click.
He's staring at us. He's very upset. It's fine.
He made it 3 years longer than Patrick Swayze did.
I'm staring at you. I'm staring at an IMDb. You pissed me off.
That's the only thing he's been in. Probably won 2 Emmys or something. But, definitely Jackie Treehorn. I recognized him from Lebowski. I knew he was from Lebowski. And I could not figure his goddamn name for an hour. And it fucking bothered me. His character name, not the actor. I fucking don't know his actor name. And I had to Google it, and I was so angry that I had to Google the goddamn name. Because, like, I had, like it's on your tongue, like, you just, like, it's right there. We all know Jackie Treehorn. Like, we all fucking know Jackie Treehorn. But, it's fucking nuts, right?
He had more hair. And it's only a couple years difference. Like, it's not that much, but, yeah.
So, can we discuss how, like, the suits that, Swayze wears this fucking thing. Like, those things hang to his knees, man. Like,
the jackets and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's a very, like...
Yeah, a lot of the clothing
The styling for, like, the nice clothes in the movie is very 80s. Like, they don't shy away from that at all.
Looking at it right now, that suit's, like
the pants and the suit jacket, like, the stuff that Swayze's wearing when he's, like, dressed nice is, yeah, it's not... That dates the movie hard. Like, if you would take that out of it, I guess some, like, the cars, but, like, that's probably maybe the biggest thing that dates the movie.
Right. And, like, it just... All right, well, let's get the... All right. I'm just not the part, like, really... All right, well... Sean... All right, so Keith David is, like, the actor in a small role. There's really no one else in this one that's, like... actor in a small role, right? And we're like, I think Keith David even hits us because Keith David's voice is so iconic. That deep, gravelly voice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there wasn't really anybody that jumped out at me that was like, oh man, like that person or whatever. Like, you didn't, if it was just Sam Elliott on the phone call and he didn't show up later, that would probably like qualify type of thing, right? But
yeah, I
mean, there wasn't a lot. There wasn't a lot else for me anyway.
Yeah, like it just, and like I said, like Sam Elliott is just.
Yeah, I mean, Keith David, like if you're paying attention when he shows up,
and that's
what he's like, I know that guy. Like, I don't even know exactly where I would tell you.
And it's wild because like he was just like popping off when he started in They Live, and he's on a thing. Like it's wild to me, like how small a part he has this fucking movie. Like,
it's almost nothing.
It's exactly right. And like he's like the fourth billing. Like he's like Keith Davis, like the fourth person they mentioned the credits, and he's not even got that movie. He's just not even there.
Holy smokes. His IMDb is crazy.
Because he's a very famous in
everything.
Yeah, because he's famous, but he's not famous, right?
Yeah, like he just does everything.
Well, because like I said, he's there, he's not there. But like
he's probably like a lot of whatever, like voice acting and whatever too, but
all right, so let's discuss Sam Elliott in this movie. Because, like, I know stereotypes exist for a reason. They're stereotypes, but like, let's get into his character. He's a cooler that Dalton. Who, all right, is Dalton his first or his last name? They never say. What are you guys on that at? Is Dalton his first or his last name?
What's his first name to me?
I think it's his first name. Yeah. I always took it as his first name.
That's how I like just in my
because brain, I kept waiting for the last name to slip out at least once.
And for some reason, I had Dalton Kincaid in my head, and I think it must be for something else. And it's going to bother me for a bit. But
Dalton Kincaid is a tight end in the NFL, right?
Oh, the Bills.
Yeah, for the Bills.
Yeah.
He's the guy who took over for Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're all just the same people.
So anyway. Glad I traded for Dawson Knox in my dynasty leagues.
Dalton Kincaid, it's the same
thing. All right. God damn it, I got distracted for a second. So, all right, I got to discuss before I forget. We're going to come back to the similar thing. So, he has sex with a doctor. We have the asshole, Jackie Treehorn, watch them fuck from across the pond. On the roof that looks fucking treacherous as shit.
It's a lean-to.
I mean, I'm not... People like to have sex in dangerous situations. I'm not fucking on that lean-to.
Can't get too aggressive out there.
Yeah, it's...
You can see it bending! Like, you can see it fucking bending! Maybe she's a grinder, not a thruster. That's fine.
That's why I said you can't get too aggressive out there.
Respectfully. So, like, the best part is when we're like... It's early on the movie when he's on someone else. He puts his blue jeans on in an un-air-conditioned barn with no fucking underwear.
Oh, yeah, it's when the waitress lady that works at the bar shows up with breakfast out of the blue. Yeah,
just shows up.
For some fucking reason.
I imagine his job's not stressful and it's not unathletic. He still somehow gets the doctor. Like, the smell of all those blue jeans when he pulls them off, man. Like,
why? Okay.
It's summertime in fucking Missouri. Yep. It's not.
I don't know why we're applying this logic to this.
When's the last time you put blue jeans on my underwear on, Jake? Ever?
Oh, yeah. I have before. Not. It's not my regular attire, but yes.
Right. Like, it just. It's going to be a clam bake. It's going to be.
Sure.
What I hate when
it's a weird it's a weird tangent. Look,
you're not entirely wrong.
Save me, Sean.
I didn't say he's wrong. I just said I don't know why we're talking about it.
It's not something we got to totally get hung up on, but it does kind of bring me to this was a mental note I had I didn't write down, but it is
Top Gun. Tom Cruise is the same move
for the fights that happen in this movie. The amount of high kicks in denim blue jeans.
Tight 80s denim blue jeans.
And he is so sweaty in every fight.
Where dudes are ducking under them and almost have to get on the ground because nobody can get their foot that high is a little tough to watch. But yeah, then on top of that, if you're just going in raw dogging your thighs and and stuff against denim.
All right, let's discuss the fights. First fight, those dickheads in California, where the fuck he's at. My favorite fight is like when he walks out when Elliot's character shows up, Wade Garrett. And he walks out and like
he's getting the beer delivery.
And like he's out there for like a minute. And mind you, there's like four of them, they're all giants. And then Wade Garrett rolls out and like Dalton's hair is dry when he like gets in that conflict, and he's just soaked to the bone. And that dude's like just Terry Funk is like just straight up fucking gut punching that motherfucker, like just like to the ribs. And then you know Elliot rolls out and they get in that fight.
But I had it under control,
right?
Yeah, I know. I like the best part of it is what it's. It's shortly before that he kicks the shit out of all of these guys, you know, at the bar anyway. When they're all focused on probably kill this guy as it is. But then on this time, it's those dudes are so split on do we destroy this beer order that they got or do we beat the shit out of him? And they just start kind of rotating, just... Who's gonna slam bottles on the ground? Who's gonna throw this case?
So the one guy is like throws the case on the ground, starts getting in the fight. The other guy literally is just like, I'm just gonna grab cases of booze and start throwing them on the ground. I don't care what's going on.
He's not even involved in the fight. He doesn't care about.
Then eventually he gets involved, but it's like, all right. I mean, if that was your primary like thing, you probably could have just like.
Just take
a car into the truck and like take the truck out.
Or like slash the tires, you know, whatever. Like,
there's a lot of ways you could like ruin the booze order, but whatever.
Yeah, you know. And the best part of this whole point is so then Wade Garrett shows up and he saves him and he goes, and then I don't mean you guys, but if I had a dude that was a freshman wrestler, like just chest punch me, rib punch me for like 2 minutes, I'm not gonna like just drink until morning. Go find a diner. About sleep. And watch my best friend and mentor like openly hit on the girl I love. That's my
For sure thought he was gonna fuck her.
It wasn't like, it was a very interesting part.
She's like, is this where you part where you tell me about how good a guy he is? And he's like,
no, this is the part is where the I part tell you. Where, yeah, this is the part where I tell you I want to be with you or whatever the hell he says. Like, yeah, that was it was interesting. I thought there, like, if you're gonna do that, there should be something that is like a payoff there. That's
as my therapist just, says, boundaries are a thing you need to fucking work on. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, it should have just been all that it takes is like everything that happened there could happen, and she could have had like one line that was like, you know, oh, you're flattering or whatever, but like Dalton's great, or like there's like a line
I mean, he
could have said that like diffused that weird thing that Sam Elliott was like.
Why would she diffuse it? Because Sam Elliott's more attractive than fucking Patrick Swayze in this movie. Oh.
You're not wrong.
She's probably
And in her defense, as we learned through the whole movie and the credits of the movie, nobody knows her goddamn name anyway.
Doc. Her name is in the fucking movie. Her name is Doc. No, you say her name, but like,
no, they don't. Her name is Doc.
They do.
I don't think they do.
Refer to her.
Oh,
the only
no,
time
so
I
the bad
Doc.
Guy
no, they do.
Refers to her as her name. It's
the
like,
blind dude. The blind dude says, "Hey," and he says her name.
Oh yeah, because Wesley's. Went crazy when she left or whatever.
Yeah. Like, no, it, but yeah, I love how like the blind dude says.
Okay, so there's two references then, because he says when the bad guy calls.
Is it Rebecca or something? Or maybe I'm making.
I was gonna say Jessica, but I don't know.
Regardless, it's hilarious to me that fucking IMDb just says Doc.
Yep. No name.
Doc. Well, I assume that's what's in the credits.
No, it is. It is. That's what's in the credits. There's no even like parentheses. Like name or anything, just
talk. But yes, yeah. I don't know what the fuck I was talking about a minute ago.
Questions? Anything? What have we not gone through?
All right. Well, no, I need to discuss. All right, this part pisses me off. Well, no, we haven't discussed the fact that dude, like the. So we have Wesley, he's the bad guy, but like his main henchman, we didn't even talked on that guy.
He gets his throat ripped out.
So he's a badass. He goes in there with the pole cue and he just like destroys.
Yeah, he's using it like a I don't remember what that discipline of fighting is.
Donatello.
It's a Donatello. It's a bow staff, well, not a bow staff.
He's a prison. He's not, a prison that, happy.
There's an actual like discipline of fighting that uses staff, which is what I was talking about.
It's called a Donatello.
It's called a Donatello. Okay, I'll just go fuck myself. Thanks.
Well, no, you don't want to fuck yourself. He already said he fucks people like in prison.
Yeah, he eats pieces of shit like you for breakfast, but a lot more vulgar.
There's no context given
for that
guy. There is a level of like. I'm going to take great pleasure in gutting you, boy. That's like a 3 out of 10 from The Rock. And there is this dude being like, I used to fuck motherfuckers like you in prison, which is a 10. Or the fuck that. Like, that's a fucking hardcore line. Like, that's a hardcore line. Like, he has a guy, because he has Dalton around the throat when he says that shit. So.
And also both wearing a lot of denim in the moment.
Dude, yeah.
I guess Dalton's not. Dalton doesn't have a shirt on.
What do you expect?
Late 80s, but yes.
Still.
Yeah, it's... He's obviously, you know, he's the secret weapon. He's... That they're going to unleash on...
Take great pleasure in cutting you, boy. Cutting you, boy. Yeah.
Which is, then, obviously, you get the throat rip-out scene that is just... It's not...
Dude, the best part of this fucking scene, like when they're so he blows up the farm dude's house and they pull that dude out of the house somehow when that fucking house exploded. Like, where was that man's bedroom when that house exploded?
Well, I mean, you kind of see where he comes from. I don't know that they did this intentionally, but the fire is initially
down below
into the left side of the house. and he comes out the door from the right side of the house, and they run away.
I love trying to apply logic.
And then that dude's on the dirt bike, and he's just like, "Fuck yeah!" And Dalton, and motherfucker.
Then, yeah, and
why are you such an asshole?
Swayze hits full fucking sprint.
Yeah, he totally runs at 35 miles an hour. Jumps and
I know exactly where he's going, and I'm gonna get him.
I love how like Doc like walks down the stairs and he's like jumping out the window off the fucking deck balcony. Does not even like slip and like he's
parkouring smooth as shit over cars off the roof.
He hits and then he's like, "Why are you such an asshole?" And like they go down and they fight on that beach and like so fun story that like those two like fought. It took 5 days to film. And apparently, like, Swayze hit that dude a few times too hard. And that guy got pissed off and started, like not holding his punches. So then Swayze stopped holding his punches. So if you watch it again, so Swayze, like, apparently tags him a few times. There's a part where, I don't know that dude's name of the movie.
Movie's on Prime, by the way. Didn't have to rent this one.
So yeah.
Got Prime, you can go watch.
And he hits him with a log. And that dude legit hit Swayze so hard with that log, it broke two ribs. Because they were pissed at each other during the, like, they, and then, you nice. Know.
I like it. It's always fun. I'm going to actually fucking hit you because you're an asshole.
It's like fun. The first Rocky when, like, Stallone tagged Brothers twice, and Brothers got pissed off and just started, like, tagging Stallone, you know? Yeah, they don't make. I love the John Wick movies. They don't make that shit anymore. Like we're like two actors are like, all right, we're doing this shit. We're gonna hurt each other. Fuck you, you know.
Well, and I mean, then they did it in what is it? This is the End when Michael Cera slapped Rihanna.
Yeah, it's a little different, but yeah.
I don't know. It's basically the same.
But yeah, like, all right. So they're on the beach. And then he fucking rips this dude's throat out.
Such a random thing with no it was referenced. was it actually referenced earlier in the movie?
Yes.
That's part of his mystique, right? That's what I thought.
It's the pencil from John Wick. I feel like Jake hasn't seen John Wick, but that's fine.
No, I have. I've seen at least the first one.
At least the first one.
Oh, well, they don't deliver on that till the second one.
I've seen that. I don't know. There's like five of them now. I haven't seen all of them, but.
You're just trying to upset us now? That's fine.
But yeah, it's somewhere they reference it,
and then it's just like they throw it in there that like.
I think it's before the first bar fight. Once when like the bar staff finds out it's Dalton. I think somebody makes a comment about just like, yeah, I heard he killed a guy by ripping his throat out.
And it is like, that's what I'm like. It is so close to the pencil. See, literally, I heard he ripped the guy.
It's the gossip. It's what everybody knows. Because apparently there's a Rolodex of fucking bar bouncers in the 80s.
Coolers.
But yeah, and then he does it and it's
all right.
It's surprisingly anticlimactic.
I just want to know. Like, I want to get into the, like how it would happen. Like,
because you literally just get it.
We're over an hour in, and Ted wants to get into details.
Fuck you. We already passed a Tom Danielson line. It's fine. How do you rip someone's fucking throat?
You don't. It's not realistic.
Man. Wow, that's hurtful. But if it was, how would you do it?
But if you could actually do this completely unrealistic thing,
I love how Doc like dives into the water, and like his
like she's gonna save him. Yeah, I don't. And then she's just disgusted.
It's better a day later. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. You're banging the guy who doesn't know your name.
He didn't rip the fucking awful person's throat out. So. Fine.
I love how upset she is that he did it when she just saw this motherfucker blow up a fucking house with a fucking innocent church going farmer. You know, like
I mean
duality of woman.
And,
I guess,
and right? Dalton saved the farmer out of said blown.
There is a difference in like beating the shit out of somebody and ending up killing them and like ripping
a gun. Fucking
throat out.
He that's did pull a gun. And that's the thing.
And he no longer has the gun when he rips his fucking throat out. So,
but that's the callback to the conversation with Sam Elliott that we didn't touch on. A guy puts a gun in your face, you have two options.
But
that's a great quote, by the way.
I'm not gonna
as someone who's had a gun pointed at him, it's a great quote.
But I'm not going to.
So what'd you do with that guy's throat?
I laughed at a guy and told me he was a fucking Marine, he didn't need a gun. And then Ricky got real pissed off that comment.
Goodness gracious, we're so far in the weeds at this point.
But I stole this fucking 85-pound stone lion from his front yard. It's in my back patio right now. It's true.
Here's the thing. If there's any time for the doc to be like disgusted and done with it, it's after she's mad about it and he's just dragging him across the pond, screaming, essentially, hey, here's your fucking chump, and just sends him floating in a non-current pond or breeze, but the body just goes anywhere.
Wesley, here's your bitch!
That's not how water works, but we don't have to dive into that.
All right, let's get to the end. So this part happens. He rips the dude's throat out. She gets the coin flip thing is really upsetting for me. So Wesley's like, I'm flipping a coin. Either she dies or your best friend dies. And like he saves Wade and then like finally didn't save Wade. And I know stereotypes exist for a reason, right? When movies like, but him dying really pisses me off. The sidekick dying just to like motivate the hero, right? Yeah, who kills him? He did. We've seen this man kick all kinds of shit, right? Who kills him?
Well, he was already like beat up and off guard because he thought he was done. So that's
doesn't make me happier.
It's not like the guy's beat to shit. I mean, and he's sitting there drinking a beer. It's not surprising to me that somebody, that guy, whatever the head crony that's still there, jumps in and stabs him in the chest and kills him.
Yeah, that's, I think, the whole point of the scheme is that. You know, they gave him the option. You know, it's heads or tails. It's the Joker thing.
Where's Rachel?
The Two-Face. Yeah, it's and so where's it is.
Rachel.
Rachel.
They let him go because they know he's going to go there. So then he's safe. So Dalton's going to leave to go find the other. Go find Doc, who doesn't have a name.
Respectfully,
I was actually expecting the whole Batman thing where he like tells him the opposite
that he's not wearing hockey pads.
Rachel,
Rachel.
But yeah, and then so obviously he leaves and comes back, and yeah, it's just it was Taylor.
Where is she? Sorry, Tess.
I'm really trying to not do my Batman part, and it's just because then we're fully off the rails.
So bad.
But it's the whole point of the scheme is to get him out of the bar so that you can go in and you can stab the guy that killed the guy anyway. Because
stab
it was
the guy that killed the guy.
Then kill the guy. But yeah, it's because it was
playing a dude that's playing another dude.
And then, yeah, then you've just done the, you know, now you've got a guy just seeing red screaming in the rain. That's just ready to fucking murder everybody and push exactly
what
order on a guy.
Oh, it's so bad. Oh, Ted just walked away. I'm probably going to have to do some editing on this one. This is hilarious, though. I'm sweating. It's hilarious. I don't even know what you were saying. I was just doing Batman.
Oh yeah, no. I think it's just the whole bit of the story. It's the, you know.
Well, he was
you bait him by you kicked the shit out of Wade, but
yeah,
you let
I mean,
him
he
go.
Was never he was never gonna like go full.
So he's not the one who's dying.
Yeah, but I mean, so like Dalton was never going to go like full feral unless you actually do the thing of like killing Wade, right? Like that was the whole point of it.
Right.
Like you're never going to get him to actually fully lose it. Like if you don't have that type of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why they
got to bait him basically. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to put that, like, I mean, it's a trope that happens all the time, but you have to put that thing in there of like the best friend or whatever, the love interest or something, a person that's the main character seriously cares about, that you hurt or kill. And that's what sets him over the edge and makes him actually lose it. You better now, Ted. You compose yourself.
Yeah, I was waiting to know where you guys are at in context.
We're just talking about, like, actually, I was actually talking about Sam Elliott's character dying instead of...
Dude, man, I know this is my pet peeve when it comes to movies. Like, there's always one character that survives through 85% of the shit, right?
Yeah, but what I was just saying is, like, that's the thing that, like, tips the scale of, like, of Dalton, like that's what sets him off and actually gets him to go fully, whatever.
All right, and
that's,
I mean,
right. That's why. Also... But yet he doesn't kill. All right, we're here. Let's get to the point. Like, we're way past our deadline. So Dalton goes to Wesley's house, broad daylight, drives a car into the compound that apparently has explosives in it, and it blows up.
No, they just shoot the shit out of it until it explodes.
It's supposed to be.
We're also ignoring the fact that, like, they had a Bigfoot moment through a car dealership just because they could, you know.
Oh, the monster truck thing makes no goddamn sense in the entire movie.
I made a note of like why the
but
fuck
they
is
had a monster truck, so why the fuck?
Dude, Joel Silver produced this fucking movie. It is legit Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's
legit.
Actually Bigfoot. Yeah, I know. Why the fuck is Bigfoot in this movie? But anyway.
So Dalton goes to Wesley's house and they have this huge thing. Like, he kills the old bartender because another dude with a knife that they stab Garrett with. And then, like, he's down there in, like, this African safari thing. And he goes, like, I'm going to stuff your ass.
his trophy room full of just.
It's
trophy animals.
And then, like, they fight and he's going to rip this guy's throat out and he doesn't for some fucking reason because.
And then Doc shows.
Because he wants to fuck Doc again.
Because
he's a better man.
He's a better man. He's a changed person from 24 hours ago.
And then suddenly, like, all four of the other dudes that got wronged by Wesley
just randomly show up. They have all the shotguns from the house.
The blood squids that they put in this fucking dude's chest. Like, the guy who plays Wesley's like, more, give me them all.
Yeah, that dude is drowning in fake blood.
So it's hilarious. My hilarious thought of that sequence was like, all right, the first shotgun shot hits him in like the upper like peck area kind of thing. Like,
so he might walk weird.
All right, so he might keep going. If you like got shot, like just on a drink.
Not for what the spray pattern was on that fucking.
I know, but like he get like his whole right pec is basically blown apart. All right, so maybe on adrenaline you keep going.
He's just
the second one is like right in his like gut, and I'm like, all right, like I get like being persistent and adrenaline, but like, and then he takes like what two more to finally
two
stop.
More.
Yeah, he takes a third one and then a fourth one before he stops.
All four of them get hit. Four of them get
like,
their fucking.
That's goddamn insane.
All four, and then he gently falls on the sofa. Yeah.
No.
The fourth
glass
one.
Glass table.
Yeah, the fourth one.
The fourth one puts him through the table. Yeah.
Yeah, all the townspeople that he pissed
and
off
then,
and screwed over.
The Red, they always like hand Red the rifles and he just walks away. Like they pop his arms. Like,
yeah, he's like, I'm gonna take these away and put them in an incinerator that doesn't exist. Okay.
And the cops are like, what happened here? And like, I didn't see anything.
Didn't see anything.
You see anything?
What about you, Tinker?
Tinker! I love myself from
Polar
Tinker.
Bear fell on me.
Polar bear fell on me. So
it's amazing.
The cool thing about this for reading this podcast is like, so it's kind of like based on like a real story a little bit, that part. So like
what part? tinker to get a polar bear.
No. I don't have any fucking urban legend about a fucking polar bear falling on 1980s version of me. There's this dude that, like, lived in this town and was just a bully and an asshole and just like was a piece of shit and beat the fuck out people. And one day he got shot like 18 times. And when the cop showed up, everyone was like, we don't know what happened. And the, because like the town who just got tired of his ass and just fucking murdered him. And it's amazing. Like, he got shot like 18 times, like 9 different fucking guns.
But yeah, I mean, and that's depending on what that.
But also, why didn't these fucking dudes do this shit 6 months ago and they don't even need Dalton? And Wade Garrett's still alive. Because Wade Garrett's the best character in the movie.
Because it's not easy to band everybody together until he's wronged a bunch of people.
But also, Wade Garrett's going to fuck Dalton's girlfriend. But, you know, that's the thing.
That's true. But, yeah, it's just you get a couple people spurned by him finally, where he's burning down their business or driving monster trucks through their car dealerships. where these friends in town get a throwback at each other, just, you got insurance, don't you? but you get that, where it's just like, all right, finally you give people a reason to just, all right, he's fucked us up bad, now we can go get him, or we can at least try and go get him, because it is some of that, like, all those people couldn't do it alone. You're not going to be able to convince people to do it with you, because he runs.
Also, Doc is Red's niece, right? Or some shit. Yeah, there's a relation there.
Yes, I believe is the story there. And she only, yeah, she moved back there because something happened to her parents or something like that.
Anyways, we're way past the dancing line. Anyone have any notes? I don't think there's no gifts from this movie, right? We missed the gift question. Is there any gifts in this fucking movie we know about?
I don't think so.
I
was looking for one. I thought maybe there was one or two, but I don't. Yeah, I didn't find anything.
Yeah, I didn't have anything.
Nothing
I didn't know was from this movie. Unless I guess we want to drop in, you know, drain the main vein.
Or the something that hasn't aged well. I mean, only thing that hasn't aged well is the whole, like, groping the woman for $20 at the beginning of the fucking movie. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's not great.
Oh no,
I can't. I don't have $20. But also, I mean, there's probably still shitty dudes that do that in bars. So.
And real quick before we end, so the band that starts this fucking, I'm going to ask both of you, I don't think anyone, do you guys recognize the band that begins this movie? I did immediately.
I didn't.
Sean,
try and figure it out, and I never did.
I didn't, I'm sure, but boy, it was a very not good song, I'll give you that.
It's the band from Dusk Till Dawn. It's the fucking lead band. Yeah, it's
the same. Oh, okay.
Also,
I figured it was some like band I would know, but I didn't figure it out.
No, yeah, that's a movie I have not watched in 15 years. I assume it's very good, just as well as much as I liked it when I was a teenager. Also, the song that ends this movie, when like Swayze and Doc are in a pond just fucking around naked, which, okay, whatever, it's a banger. Check it out. And I can't remember the name of the title right now. I assume Jake knows it.
What? Sorry.
The song
I could not tell you.
Oh, that ends? No, I don't know the actual song. I just know that's the Jeff Healey band. Like, that was Jeff Healey, the blind guitar player.
I got it right now.
What that song was actually called that ended it. But it was a song I didn't actually like recognize, but it's very good.
It's called When the Night Comes Falling from the Sky. It's great. I've fucking listened beforehand. Anyways,
yeah.
Movie's good. The remake's coming out, Jake Gyllenhaal. It's a Doug Liman movie. I just saw some bad reviews of it, which makes me sad because Doug Liman has just a 9 really good fucking movies. The Tomorrow Never Dies, Swingers, the first Bourne movie, Go, a Mr. and Mr. Smith. And Jake Gyllenhaal is good shit, right? And Conor McGregor.
I like Jake Gyllenhaal a lot. I just think I'm scared for the remake because, like, this movie
wasn't good.
How do you make this movie and not make it like super cheesy and whatever in today's film?
Well, yeah, like I heard this on their podcast. They were like, do you think they realized it was kind of funny when they were making it? Like, I think they realized it was a comedy and they didn't. Like, it was very funny in like an ironic kind of way.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's definitely some irony.
Yeah, it's playing on tropes and some stuff like that, and just
that's why I think it doesn't work for a remake. That's why, yeah, I think it's like not gonna probably be reviewed well.
But I'm gonna watch it.
I assume it'll go a little bit as far as I didn't ever watch. I know, Ted, you said you haven't seen Dirty Dancing, but I never watched the new one.
I'm fixing that soon. It's on the dock in a few days.
I've heard the new one, the Havana Nights or whatever.
He's in that one too.
Fucking awful. He's in that. Shocker. Because I think we've touched on it in this podcast series and also in past podcasts. So just like, there's just a lot of fucking remakes and not actual original ideas.
Reboots. Yeah. You know, my buddy, it's a whole thing. You know, I can't wait for my sons, who I very much love, to make me go see a new Ghostbusters movie. After I hated the last one. So
wait till Ghost. Like in what it's gonna be like in 4 years, they'll just remake John Wick.
Fuck you. He killed a man with a pencil. All right. Anyways, our next movie is The Departed, I think. Maybe. We haven't locked that down. So it's been a few weeks. I think The Departed is maybe next.
Goodfellas.
Is it Goodfellas?
That's what we have, but that's not.
Yeah, we haven't figured it out yet. We're
it's not car or whatever.
It's not Chisholm totally canon. Not,
yeah, we haven't figured it out yet. So
could be Goodfellas, could be something else.
Yeah, we got a little bit. We got
Maybe we'll watch The Irishman and I'll fall asleep for the fourth time trying.
Motherfucker, that movie. That movie.
I've watched that, but I watched it in segments. I did not sit down and watch it all.
I had a good friend of mine. He watched that. He said he watched it over 7 days, over five parts. He has two young kids. No,
you got to do it in three. It's three parts. Anyway.
He has two young kids. But, anyways, all right. I'm Ted Flint, Jake Ross, Sean Shantel Sussman. Till next time, I'm going to. Fuck. I had it. I wrote it down on a fucking bar napkin. I had a saying. I had it.
It's still at the bar.
Lost the bar. Yeah, left it at the bar.
It was good. It was witty. It was funny. It was witty. Next time.
And until next time, American Legion post.
Next time, I'll have a good goodbye that we can put on shirts and stickers. It'll be funny. I swear to God, I'm working on it. All right, till next time. Talk to you guys soon.
Later.